ಹರಿ ಓಂ ಓಂ ಸದಾಶಿವಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಶಂಕರಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರುಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಶ್ರುತಿಸ್ಮೃತಿಪುರಾಣಾನಾಂ ಆಲಯಂ ಕರುಣಾಲಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಗವತ್ಪಾದಶಂಕರಂ ಲೋಕಶಂಕರಂ ಶಂಕರಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯಂ ಕೇಶವಂ ಬಾದರಾಯಣಂ ಸೂತ್ರಭಾಷ್ಯಕೃತೌ ವಂದೇ ಭಗವಂತೌ ಪುನಃ ಪುನಃ. ಓಂ ಈಶ್ವರೋ ಗುರುರಾತ್ಮೇತಿ ಮೂರ್ತಿಭೇರವಿಭಾಗಿನೇ ವ್ಯೋಮವದ್ವ್ಯಾಪ್ತದೇಹಾಯ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಓಂ ಸಹನವವತು ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಓಂ ಸರ್ವಮಂಗಲಮಾಂಗಲ್ಯೇ ಶಿವೇ ಸರ್ವಾರ್ಥಸಾಧಿಕೇ ಶರಣ್ಯೇ ತ್ರ್ಯಂಬಕೇ ಗೌರೀ ನಾರಾಯಣಿ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ. ಓಂ ಭದ್ರಂ ಕನ್ನೇ ವಿಶ್ರುನುಯಾಮ ದೇವಾಃ ಭದ್ರಂ ಪಶ್ಯೇಮಾಕ್ಷಭರ್ಯಜತ್ರಾಃ ಸ್ಥಿರೈರಂಗೈ ಸ್ತುಷ್ಟುಪಾಗಂಸಸ್ತನೂಭಿಃ ವ್ಯಶೇಮ ದೇವಹಿತೈಯದಾಯುಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನ ಇಂದ್ರೋ ವೃದ್ಧಶ್ರವಾಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನಃ ಪೂಷಾ ವಿಶ್ವವೇದಾಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನಸ್ತಾರ್ಕ್ಷ್ಯೋ ಅರಿಷ್ಟನೇಮಿಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನೋ ಬೃಹಸ್ಪತಿರ್ದಧಾತು. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಇನ್ ಪೇಜ್ 328 ವಿ ಸಾ ಎಸ್ಟರ್ಡೇ ಪೂರ್ವಪಕ್ಷೀಸ್ ವ್ಯೂ. The Shunyavadi Purapakshi, still seeing the Atma as an object, comes out with this, which we saw yesterday, with this objection. Of course, Shastram serves as a pramanam. One can understand the Turiya Atma, Turiya Chaitanyam. Still, what is the use of knowing the Turiya Chaitanyam? It is of no use, because this Turiyam is as good as Sashavishanaha, rabbit's horn. Rabbit's horn really is non-existent. So a non-existent thing cannot have any of these, it cannot have an action, cannot be associated with an action, cannot be associated with any species, cannot be connected to any guna, nothing can have, because it's non-existent. Similarly, this Turiyam also, Turiya Chaitanyam, the word Turiyam just refers to consciousness, that's all. The word Turiyam means the fourth. It refers to abstract pure consciousness. This consciousness, the reality is of Turiyam also, doesn't have all these, any of these five factors. Therefore, Turiyam also is non-interactable. Because it is not available for any interaction, then knowing that Turiyam is meaningless. It doesn't serve any purpose. That was his argument we saw yesterday. Shasha Vishanadi Samatvat Nirarthakam. Nirarthakam means what? It's a meaningless, it is purposeless, useless. What? Knowing this Turiyam, being not having any of these five factors, which are required for the words to describe that. It is like a rabbit's non-existent rabbit's horn. So knowing that Thurium will not be of any use. So the argument he saw, and then we saw yesterday itself. The answer, Shankaracharya gave an answer. Saha ayamatma, important lesson he said. Here we have to understand the whole Atma or Brahma. What is Atma or what is Brahma? The only reality, the one and the only reality, which is of the nature of pure knowledge or pure awareness, is implied by the term Atma and also the term Brahman. The same reality is also implied by the term Turiyam in this Mandukya Upanishad. So this reality which is implied by the term Brahman or Atma or Turiyam actually is of both the aspects. Atma is of two aspects, Satya aspect and Mithya aspect. Atma is a composite of both Paramartha Rupam and Aparamartha Rupam. Is Atma is of both Paramartha Rupaha and Aparamartha Rupaha. Yesterday explained in the class. Saha ayam Atma Paramartha Rupaha Aparamartha Rupaha. That alone is here. Chatushpaditi Uktaha. Chatushpaditi Uktaha. This Atma, which is of Paramartha Rupaha and Aparamartha Rupaha, is said to be Chatushpad, is said to be of four quarters. Chatushpad, it's said to be of four quarters. And here, this Atma, Paramartha Rupaha, and is here, Aparamartha Rupaha is product of ignorance. Avidyakritam Aparamartha Rupam. Aparamartha Rupam is Avidyakritam, is part of ignorance. So, Rajju Sarpadi Samam Uktam, and this Aparamartha Rupam is like, is similar to rope snake. Which means, the rope, we have to understand very clearly here, the snake is not there at all. Snake is not there at all. But snake, but rope is mistaken to be a snake. Which means, in the wake of the urge of the rope being rope, the snake will disappear. Snake will resolve in that very rope. Like that here also, this Aparamartha Rupam of Atma also, which is product of ignorance, just as snake is the projection, the superimposition upon the rope due to the ignorance of the rope. Ignorance of the rope alone causes the superimposition of snake upon the rope. Similarly here, ignorance of this Atma alone, ignorance of this Turiya Chaitanyam alone, causes the superimposition of this Aparamartha Rupam of the Atma. That is, the Mithya aspect of the Atma. Which is Mithya, which is not really there, which is as good as non-existent. If at all it is there, it will be taken as what? Only Mithya. So here, and this Aparamartha Rupam is in the form of what? Padatraya Lakshanam, is in the form of three padas. Aparamartha Rupam of Atma is in the form of three padas. Prathama, Dvitiya, Tritiya padas. Okay. So here, Bijankura Sthaniyam. It means this both three padas of the Atma. Prathama, Dvitiya, Tritiya padas of the Atma. First, second, and third quarters of the Atma. Actually, can be understood as the cause and the effect. The Tritiya pada of the Atma is the cause. Bijasthaniyam is in the place of a cause. It is as good as the cause. And Prathama Dvitiya Padas are like the sprout, means the effect. Bija Ankura Sthaniyam means what? Bijam means seed, Ankura means sprout. So Bijankrasthaniya means this aparamartha rupam of Atma obtaining in the form of three padas, first, second, third quarters, or in the form of cause and effect. You can say the third pada, tritiya pada, prajna antaryameshwaraha is the form of a cause, and then prathama dvitiya padas are like the effects. Because in prathama tritiya pada, what happens, there is the power of knowledge, entirety of the power of knowledge, power of reality, remains unmanifested and undifferentiated. In tritiya pada, there is Atma. Atma alone is there. In that Atma, the power of knowing remains unmanifested. Which means that Atma alone is. To understand the tritiya pada, you must remember what? Analyze your own deep sleep state. How you are in deep sleep state. When I am in fast asleep, and I'm asleep, I am there not knowing my own existence. When I am there not knowing my own existence, being there not knowing my own existence does not mean I'm not existent. I am there. I'm very much there, but I am there not knowing my existence. I am existent not knowing my own existence, which is said to be ignorance of the existence of one's own self. When I am in deep sleep state, not knowing my own existence, there's also existence of the universe. Therefore, there's a total ignorance. And the total ignorance alone, what is said to be total ignorance, avidya, with reference to an individual alone, is said to be maya, with reference to the whole. Therefore, this maya or avidya is what? Unmanifested, undifferentiated universe. Universe alone is in the form of maya. Unmanifested power, undifferentiated power. What happens? Avyakta rupena, avyakrata rupena, jagat asti. The whole universe exists in an unmanifested, undifferentiated form. So only when this manifestation, you can see that the universe must become manifested, only then differentiation is possible. See, this is time, this is space, this is earth, this is water, this is differentiation of elements, differentiation of elementals, living beings, non-living things, mobile beings, immobile beings, animate, inanimate, actions, functions, results of actions, the laws determine results of actions, and experience of pairs of opposites, pain, pleasure, all, everything becomes differentiated, vyakritam, only when there is manifestation of knowledge. When there is no manifestation of knowledge, there is ignorance, everything remains undifferentiated. In unmanifested condition, everything remains undifferentiated also. In sleep, what happens? In sleep, when you are there, not knowing your existence, there's no time, there's no space, there are no elements, there are no elementals, there's no relationships, there's no worry, there's no pain. What happened? Where is the jagat? This hold of countless number of forms, names and functions remains as just total ignorance. Therefore, that's the karanam. Karana prapanchaha. Causal, maya is a causal universe. You say maya, total ignorance is not absence, okay? Total ignorance is actually the power of knowledge remaining unmanifested is called ignorance. The maya is nothing but unmanifested, undifferentiated universe of vastness. And where does this knowing power remains unmanifested? Where does it remain undifferentiated? not outside of its source. That is why Antaha Yamayati iti Antaryameshwaraha. You see, Antaryameshwara means the one in whom the whole universe remains unmanifested, undifferentiated as Maya. So, Karanam. Therefore, Tritiya Pada is said to be Karana Padaha. Why? Because in Tritiya Pada, there in this Turiya Chaitanyam, with the Maya Shakti, is said to be Antaryameshwara. There, the gross subtle universe remains unmanifested. It is a causal universe. Maya is causal universe. Therefore, we say, here, Karanapadaha. Tritiya Pada is a Karanapadaha. Whereas, when the knowledge becomes manifested, then there is subtle manifestation. Then, from through subtle manifestation, there also comes gross manifestation. The knowledge has to become, first knowledge of self-existence, knowledge of the existence of the world, all the sense powers function, all subtle powers have to function, then interaction of the world happens, then the knowledge of the external world also happens, then there is gross manifestation. So gross manifestation presupposes what? Subtle manifestation. So these two, Dvitiya Pada and Prathama Pada, are said to be the Karyapadav, the effects. So Karyapadaha, you say Karyam Brahma, number one, Karyam Brahma, number two. So Karyapadaha, number one, number two. Because the effects, they are Ankurasthaniyam. And the Bijasthaniyam is Tritiya Pada. Okay. So, and these three padas, obtaining in the name of a cause and effect. Tritiya Pada, the third quarter of the Atma, which is said to be the Karana. Bijasthani, which is said to be the cause. And Pratama Dvitiya Pada, which is said to be the effects. All these three padas actually are together belong to the Aparamartha Rupam, which are like the rope snake. Which are as good as the rope snake. Aparamartha Rupam. Then, what about this? Ata Idanim Abhijatmakam Paramartha Sarupam Rajusthaniyam Sarpadisthaniya Saniya Ukta Sthanatraya Nirakaranena Aha. Therefore, now this Paramartha Sarupam, Aparamartha Rupam we understood, Paramartha Rupam of the Atma is nothing but pure awareness, and which is like the rope. Which is like the rope, which is the adhishtanam of the snake. This is the Paramartha Rupam alone is the adhishtanam for the three padas. So Turiya Chaitanyam, Turiya Pada is the adhishtanam for the three padas. Therefore what? Sthanatraya Nirakaranam. So negation of three padas has to be done. Unless the three padas become negated as mithya, ascertainment of turiyam being satyam will not be clear. Of course, in the wake of knowledge of the turiyam being satyam, the anatma, aparamatrupam become negated as mithya. But now it has been negated. Negation has to be done. Only through the negation of three padas, which is Aparamartha Rupam, then Paramartha Rupam can be arrived at. Paramartha Rupam means the absolute reality can be arrived at. Therefore, this mantra, seventh mantra, begins the negation of three padas in the following manner, stating. Okay, this is what we saw. We'll go into the class. Nantav Prajnam Nabahish Prajnam. We only covered introduction to this mantra. We came into the mantra actually. Nantav Prajnam Nabahish Prajnam. Number 329. Nobhayatav Prajnam Prajnanaghanam Na Prajnam நா பிரஜ்ஞம் அத்ருஷ்டமவ்யவஹார்யம் அக்ராஹ்யமலக்ஷணமசிந்த்யம் அவ்யபதேஷ்யம் ஏகாத்ம பிரத்யயசாரம் பிரபஞ்சோபசமம் சாந்தம் சிவமத்வைதம் சதுர்த்தம் மன்யந்தே ச ஆத்மா ச விஜ்ஞேயஹ. We are going to see Jacob Bhopala's commentary. He is going to show us how this mantra functions as a means of knowledge through using this method of negation. We are going to see that. So when you say na, this particle na comes, the na also stands for negation. Nowhere Atma is revealed directly here. Every word tells us what Turiyam is not. What Atma is not alone is said everywhere. Directly nothing is said here. So, na antah pragyam. Na antah pragyam means, so here this reality, we are supposed to arrive at, we have to discover, is definitely not. It's not the awareness associated with the external world, experienced in the waking state. So, antah pragyam, it is not the reality, other than the internal experience, antah pragyam, the na bahish pragyam. So, everywhere the na comes, the na, directly we are not shown. Na antah pragyam. Na antah pragyam negates atma being the experiencer obtaining in the dream state. Atma being obtaining the dream state. Na antah pragyam, which means atma is not the experiencer. Very important. Atma is not the experiencer. Even though we have to arrive at the atma as the experiencer, atma is not the experiencer. Consciousness obtaining in the dream state. Na bahish pragyam. Again, na negates. So, atma is not the awareness associated with the external world. Atma is not the experiencer obtaining in the waking state. Associated with the gross universe. So, atma is not the experiencer means, still experience is atma. Experience is other than the atma only. So, na ubhayata pragyam, there is a na ubhayata pragyam, that na, important word, it's only a word, it's a letter of negation. It negates what atma is not. Na pragyana ghanam. So, this atma is not even, atma is not even the mass of consciousness with ignorance. Atma is not even the total ignorance. Atma is not the experience obtaining in the deep sleep state. Atma is not even that ignorance. Na pragyana ghanam. Ubhayata pragyam. Na ubhayata pragyam. Atma is not the experiencer which is involved in the experience of the twilight zone, in between the waking and the dream. See, we don't have such experience. Still, Upanishad still wants to make it clear. If at all there is some experience. There are only three sets of experience, isn't it? So, what you want to understand is the na. Nowhere directly atma is indicated. This is what is atma is. No. What Atma is not alone is said. This is what method of negation. So, na pragyam, when you say, it is not the inertness also means, you're negating the external world, negating the gross, subtle universe, you're negating the experience's status also. In all these three words, na antah pragyam, na bahish pragyam, na ubhayatah pragyam, na pragyanaganam, na pragyam, na pragyam, in all these words, actually, Upanishad has negated, says what Atma is not. Atma is not the experiencer. Atma is not the experience. Atma is not the experienced word obtaining in these three states of experience. All the three are not. But all three are Atma only. Experiencer is Atma. There is no experience other than Atma. Atma is not the experiencer, but there is no experience other than the Atma. Experiencer is Atma. Experience is Atma. Experienced world also is Atma. Because it has no independent existence outside of the Atma. At the same time, Atma is not the experiencer, experience and the experienced. All the three are Atma. Therefore, Atma is free from Triputi Bheda. Triputi Bheda means this knower, known, knowledge, difference, division is not there at the part of this consciousness. That is made very clear. The first, until Napragyam. Then, Adrishtam, again A. A comes in the place of Na. Na Drishtam becomes again A. So, Adrishtam, Avyavaharyam, Agrahyam, Alakshanam, Achintyam, that every word again negates. So, Adrishtam, when you say, Atma is not definitely anything perceived. Anything perceived is not the Atma, means, you understand, it comes even the thought becomes negated as mithya. Atma is not even the thought. Isn't it? Atma is, see, thought perception, sense perception. Not only the world of objects perceptible through the senses, there are certain things available for thought perception. Okay? Atma is not anything perceptible. Avyavaharyam. Atma is not anything which is transactable. Agrahyam. Atma is not any object of action, definitely. So, Atma is alakshanam. Atma is attributeless. Atma is free from all attributes. Alakshanam. Again, Atma is not thought also. Atma is not available for conception also. Achintyam. So anything which can be thought, Atma is not anything which can be thought, conceived. Atma is not. What Atma is not said here. What Atma is not alone is said here. Achintyam, then avyapadeshyam. Atma is not anything which can be denoted directly by any given word. Avyapadeshyam. Then ekatma pratyasaram. Atma is the, here it is, what is Atma then? Ekatma pratyasaram. Atma is the only reality obtaining in all the variable thoughts. Invariable present in all the variable thoughts. Prapanchopasham. Atma is that in which the entire universe becomes resolved. This I want to tell you here. Prapancha upashamam. Atma is that in which the universe can be resolved as mithya, negated as mithya. Let me tell you, see, in there's a beautiful verse, okay? When a person went to the temple, the carpenter who was working on a beautiful carving work, who was involved in a carving work, and he made a beautiful elephant, big elephant, wooden elephant. And he kept the wooden elephant, in the temple. He himself made it. And he took his son, young child, with him. And then from distance he showed the elephant, look at this. And that, come closely to the elephant, come and see the elephant. It's only wood. The child was scared of going near the elephant. The reason was, the huge elephant, beautifully carved, placement of the temple. The father knows it is nothing but wood. For the father, there's only wood. There's no elephant. Even though it's elephant form. Wood is in the form of an elephant. There's no real elephant. There's only wood. But for the child, there's only elephant. And then, when the child, father takes the son very close to the elephant, makes him touch the elephant, then says, where is the, now you see, it's only wood. Then the elephant resolves in the wood. if it doesn't go anywhere else, resolves in this very wood, which means there is no elephant other than the wood. Wood alone is in the home of the elephant. They are not two. Wooden elephant are not two. Wooden elephant means they are not two. So elephant resolves in the wood. Similarly, this entity of the cosmos also, right from all elements and elementals, the universe of elements and elementals also, as long as you do not know what the reality is, then it looks as though universe alone is. In the wake of knowledge of the reality, the universe will be resolved in that very reality. So reality and universe are not two things, like wooden elephant. Wooden elephant are not two things. The reality and the universe are not two things. Reality alone is in the form of the universe. The universe is resolvable in the reality. That's why prapancha upashamam. Prapancha upashamam. And that reality is ever of the nature of peace. Means there's no such a thing called disturbance. Is something, an attribute of the mind. So shantam, shivam. And it is of the nature of auspiciousness, means free from all sort of blemishes. Advaitam, it is non-dual. Why it is non-dual? We say, the Turiya Chaitanyam and the Jagat. Look at this, like wood and the wooden elephant. They are not two. One alone, wood alone is in the form of the wooden elephant. Then two things are not there. The elephant form, name, form and name elephant is mithya. Satyam is wood. Because if we remove the wood, elephant will disappear. Therefore, with reference to wooden elephant, wood is satyam. The form and name elephant is mithya. Similarly, with reference to the whole jagat, it is this turiya chaitanyam, paramartha rupam of the atma alone. The pure awareness alone is satyam. The entity of this element, the universe of elements and elementals is mithya. It does not have independent existence at all outside of the satyam. They are not two. It is resolvable. This huge and inexplicably vast universe is resolvable in satya atma. So, prapancha upashamam. Shantam, shivam, advaitam. Advaitam. Now, advaitam again. So, wood and elephant. Are they one? Where are they one? They are not one. Wood is distinct. Elephant is a form and name. Different. They are two. Are they two? They are not two also. They are neither one nor two. Neither one nor two. Why they are not two? If without wood, elephant can exist independently without the wood. We can say, now wood is number one, elephant is number two. The elephant form, with reference to elephant, wooden elephant form does not have, you have a beautiful Krishna's form here, isn't it? Like that. So, the elephant form does not have independent existence outside of the wood. It is not countable as a parallel reality, second thing. Elephant's form and name cannot be counted as a second thing. So they're not one, they're not two also. They're two orders of the same reality. Satyam and Mithya. Wood is Satyam, elephant's form and name is Mithya. So what? It's called Advaitam. The two orders of the same reality means they're neither one nor two. They are non-dual. This non-dual reality has two orders. So, Advaitam. And this reality alone, if you don't, Chaturtham Manyante, wise people look at this Atma as if Atma is the fourth person. So, very important, okay? Is Atma Turiyaha? Is Atma Chaturtha? Is Atma fourth person? Fourth being? Fourth set of experience? Many, many people have this wrong understanding. They come to meditation classes And they'll ask, I would like to have Turiya experience. How to have Turiya experience? Every experience is Turiyam. Turiyam is not a state of experience. It's not a state of mind. Turiyam is not the fourth state of experience. Why I'm saying this now? Because Buddhist is going to come here later on. He's waiting to say that. Turiyam is not a fourth state of experience. And it is not a fourth person also. Like the fourth person, here Atma is there as the experiencer, obtaining in all three states of experience, being distinct from all three states of experience, not being distant, but being distant, distinct, not being distant, but being distinct from all three states of experience. The Atma is always there, like the fourth person. Therefore, wise people, see, understand this, Atma, a fourth. Chaturtham manyante, saha Atma, that reality alone is Atma. So, here because we have gone through many texts, we understood, we have done Drukkadesha Viveka Prakriya, we know very well, saha Atma, that alone is Atma. Saha Atma means that alone is Atma. What is Atma? Which is not any of this. If you negate all this, everything is negated, means what is not negatable is abstract, formless reality. And that reality is of the nature of knowing. Reality is of the nature of consciousness. Therefore, what is the form of the consciousness? Consciousnesses, how many consciousnesses are there? And the question is wrong. Consciousness is one, and it is indivisible, it is undivided, it is partless, and this consciousness is absolutely formless, attributeless, is of the nature of actionlessness. Yesterday we saw all those words. Actionlessness, formlessness, is secondlessness, of nature of secondlessness also. And that Atma, that reality alone is again is of the nature of all pervasiveness, therefore implied by the term Atma. And this Atma, so I should be resolved in that consciousness. The first person, singular pronoun I, should be resolved in that consciousness only. Absolutely, I refers to that consciousness only, which is formless. Therefore, saha Atma, saha vijñeyaha. It is that Atma which should be understood through this method of negation. Just introducing this much. Now, as soon as the mantra is presented here, and only words of negation, every word reveals Atma by negating what Atma, by stating what Atma is not. Every word is a word of negation. Every word happens to be a word of negation. By negating, by stating what Atma is not, it reveals, tells arrive at what Atma is. Therefore, immediately, Purupakshi comes. Why I read this? Because again, we'll be seeing later on. Purupakshi comes. Nanu, Atmanaha Chatushpatvam Pratijnaya.
Page 330.
Atmanaha chatushpatvam pratijnaya. Okay, you promised that having promised to present, to discuss the Atma of four quarters. You said Atma is of four quarters. That's what you promised. You're going to present this, isn't it? Pratijnaya. பாதத்ரய கதனேன ஏவ, பாதத்ரய கதனேன ஏவ, சிம்பிளி பை மென்ஷனிங் தி த்ரீ பாதாஸ் இட் செல்ஃப், பிரதம பாத, த்வித்திய பாத, திருத்திய பாத, சதுர்த்த பாத, யூ ப்ராமிஸ் டு பிரசன்ட் ஃபோர் பாதாஸ் அண்ட் பை பிரசன்டிங் த்ரீ பாதாஸ் இட் செல்ஃப் இஸ் வெரி கிளியர். வாட் இஸ் வெரி கிளியர்? சதுர்த்தஸ்ய the fourth pada being different becomes very clear. So antapragnyadibhyaha anyatve siddhe, padatraya kathanena eva chaturthasya anyatve siddhe, simply by mentioning prathama pada, dutiya pada, tritiya pada, the fourth pada being different from the three becomes clear. Fourth pada being different from the three becomes very clear simply by mentioning first what is first pada, what is second pada, what is third pada. Then he is asking, why should there be negation of, why should be used again the method of negation? Pratishedaha anarthakaha, it is not necessary. See, this pratishedaha, the negation of using these words of negation, stating what Atma is not, is meaningless. It is not required. It is useless. Why? Because what is Atma? Chaturtha Padaha. Fourth Pada is Atma. That is very clear. Why does he say this? Because for him, this Chaturtha Padaha is also one of the four Padas. Which means, for him, like how Prathama Pada, Dvitiya Pada, Tritiya Pada, fourth Pada is also one of the states of experience. Understand? Fourth Pada is different for him. Different. If fourth, for that account to him, fourth Pada is different. Different from the other three. There were four. Very clear. Fourth Pada being different is very clear. Simply by mentioning first three Padas. Then what is the need for you to use the words of negation? Again, why should there be method of negation used? That is his question, Purupakshi's question. Then, look at this. No, the method of negation, okay, using the method of negation is very important. Using this method of negation is very, very, very important. Only by using the method of negation, Atma can be arrived at. What is the reason? Atma being formless, Atma being nameless, Atma being attributeless, Atma being actionless, Atma being secondless, Atma being non-dual, Atma being absolutely subtle. No, only the method of negation Atma can be arrived at. So method of negation is very important. So na means no, you are not correct. It is very important for us to make use of the method of negation. And he gives a reason. He gives the reason now. சர்பாதி விகல்ப பிரதிஷேதேன ஏவ, he gives again, he uses the example of rope snake only. சர்பாதி விகல்ப பிரதிஷேதேன ஏவ ரஜ்ஜு ஸ்வரூப பிரதிபத்திவத். See, the rope can be, roping the rope becomes very clear only when through the negation of the snake. Negation, superimposition of the snake. So sarpadi vikalpa pratishedene, only through the negation of the superimposition of snake upon the rope, understanding of the rope becomes clear. Similarly, he says, த்ரி அவஸ்தஸ்ய ஏவ ஆத்மனஹ துரியத்வேன pratipipadayishatvat tattamasi itivat. Similarly here he says, triavastasya eva. See, triavastaha means what? Three avastas. Only through the negation of the vishvaha, three avastaha means the atma associated with the three avastas. Three states of experience are said to be three avastaha. Tisraha avastaha yasya satriavastaha. Atma associated with, identified with three states of experience is said to be triavastaha. So triavastasya nishedena eva. So only through the negation of the three states of experience, especially negation of vishvatayasa prajna. Atma is not vishvaha, atma is not tayasaha, atma is not prajna, but vishvaha is atma, tayasaha is atma, prajna is also atma. That is very important. Atma is not this, but this is atma only. Therefore, only through the negation of the three states of experience, an experiencer status, turiyam can be arrived at. And in order to make, help us understand turiyam through the negation of three states of experience, Upanishad presents this mantra. Tattvamasi itivat. He gives example of tattvamasi itivat. Just as this statement tattvamasi. Tattvamasi reveals the atma. Reveals the oneness of the, reveals the reality implied term atma in terms of its nature of oneness. Isn't it? Tattvamasi Mahavakyam reveals the reality in terms of its nature of oneness. How? Again, through the negation only. What is negated here? If we take Tatpada, Tatpada also, Tatpada stands for, the word Tat stands for Ishvara. And Ishvara means we have Mithya Upadis, Karana Prapanchaha, Karya Prapanchaha, Sula Prapanchaha, Sukshya Prapanchaha, Karana Prapanchaha with Atma. Atma with three worlds. Atma with Karana Prapanchaha, Sula Prapanchaha, Sukshya Prapanchaha is Ishvara. Atma associated with Sula, Sukshma, Karana, Shairani is Jivaha. So Tvampada stands for Jiva and Tattva stands for Ishvara. Here, in this Mahavakyam also reveals the oneness of the reality only through the method of negation. What is negation here? Upadis are negated as mithya. So atma is the atma obtaining as the jiva is not the gross body, physical subtle body or causal body. Similarly, atma associated with Ishvara also is not any of the worlds, not gross universe, subtle universe or causal universe, which means if the upadis, Ishvara upadi and jiva upadis are negated, only then Tattvamasi Mahavakyam will reveal the truth. Isn't it? So jiva, the equation of jiva to Ishvara, the equation can work, equation can make us understand the essential oneness of jivatma and paramatma, only the upadis are negated. Upadis are not negated means, how can you understand the truth? Wave is ocean. They say wave is ocean is an equation. Wave is ocean is an equation. If we keep, retain the form and name, equation is, will not be possible. Wave is a tiny form, ocean is a huge form. How can there be equation? So equation is not possible if the form and name are retained with ocean and wave. The form and name are negated, only then you can say wave is ocean, means wave and ocean are essentially one. The standpoint of the water means you have to negate the mithya form and name. Because form and name are not different, do not have independent existence. They are countable. So former name must be negated. Then from the standpoint of the essential truth, equation is possible. Without negating, without negation of mithya upadis, oneness of the reality can. Similarly here, in this mantra also, Shankaracharya says, Triyavastasya Atmana eva atmanaha turiyatvena pratipipadayishatvat. Means, definitely, this Upanishad, with the intention of making us understand arivat reality, atma, here uses this method of negation, that it negates what? Three states of experience. Atma being experienced, obtaining in three states of experience as Vishvatayasa Pragyaha. Without negation, it is not possible to arrive at the Atma. Yadihi Triyavasthatma Vilakshanam Turiyam Anyati Tat Pratipatti Dvara Abhavat Shastra Upadesha Anarthakyam Shunyata Patirva. Again he says, suppose, as you say, Yadi Triyavastha Atma Vilakshanam Turiyam. This Turiya Chaitanyam, this pure consciousness Turiya Chaitanyam is also another state of experience. It's completely different. Is Turiyam different from the three sets of experience? Turiyam is not distant from any set of experience, though it is distinct from all three states of experience. Because of distancelessness, there's no distance between Turiya Chaitanyam and the three states of experience. But Turiyam is distinct from all the three of them. There's no distance. But what happens here? If Turiyam is taken with completely different, like how other three states are different. Waking state experience is different from dream state. Dream is different from deep sleep state. So also, Turiyam also different from other three states. Completely different means, then what happens? There's no other means of arriving at the Atma. If we are not using this method of negation, there is no other means of arriving at the Atma. So, method of negation is the only means of arriving at the Atma. That is why we say Shastra, Vedanta Shastra, Manas is the only Pramanam when we say, this method of negation is used only here. So, if the method of negation is not used as a pramanam, there's no other pramanam. Then what happens? If no other pramanam, no other means of knowledge here. Because there's no other means of knowledge other than the method of negation, then what will happen? Atma will be as though it is shunyam. Atma will be mistaken to be non-existence. There's a possibility of taking the Atma to be shunyam if we do not use this method of negation, because there's no other method is available. Because he's objecting, why? Why do you want to use it? Why do you use method of negation? There's no other method. There's no other means of knowledge. There's no way that you can arrive at the reality. Then what happens? And the Shastra teaching also will be redundant. Shastra Upadesha Anarthakyam. As there is no other way of arriving at the reality other than using the method of negation, okay, then what happens? Even the Shastra teaching will be meaningless or redundant. And then, it also will be, there's a possibility of mistaken Atma to be non-existent. So here, so when you do this Drik Dishe Veka Prakriya, basic kindergarten Prakriya, just let us remember here. In Drik Dishe Veka Prakriya also, definitely negation starts. You understand. Shastram first of all helps you understand that you are the knower. Once you are the knower means, and the knower is not the known. Knower is not the known. Knower is not the known means, so I am the knower. I the knower am not the known. Then only you say what? Okay, body is the known. Therefore what? Body comes under the category of the known, like any other external object. Therefore, I the knower am not the known body. So there also negation begins like this. The body is not, I am, knower is not. We don't say body is not the knower. I the knower am not the body. So also similarly here, not only the body, anything known, knower is distinct from the known means, again, anything known becomes negated as anatma. There is a method of negation used, even that simple, everywhere, method of negation has to be used. Of course, here advanced, we are presenting the teaching here, na pragyam, na pragyam, etc. Same teaching. Initially also, when the first start is Dhritishiveka Prakriya also, the method of negation alone is used to, first of all, to distinguish, to see, understand that you are the knower. As the knower, you are different from the known means, and you say anything known is not the Atma. Atma is not anything known. I am not anything known. Therefore, not only the physical body, even the sense powers become negated. Even the subtle also. Subtle also, even sense powers become negated as non-self. Because known, they come under the category of the known. The known is not the Atma. Therefore, they are known. The powers of organs of actions. So, physiological functions. Then you come up all the thoughts including Ahankara. The knowledge of the self-existence in terms of I am, that's also an object of knowledge. I am, that knowledge also is object of knowledge. The knowledge is not there, that's also object of knowledge. Therefore, anything known means mind also becomes negated as an object of knowledge. Only through the method of negation, what cannot be negated has to be taken, claimed as the knower. Then, that's why then the knower, you use the knower adjective you are using, but knower is formless. Formless abstract reality, which is of the nature of consciousness. So, what Shankaracharya says in this commentary, Pratipatti Dwara Abhavat, as there is no other way of understanding the Atma, no way of understanding the Atma other than using this method of negation. If the method of negation is not used, then the Shastra teaching also will become waste, meaningless, redundant. Then Atma also will be mistaken to be non-existent, shunyam. Okay. Rajjuhiva sarpadibihi vikalpyamana sthanatrayepi atma ekaha eva. See, rajjuhu iva sarpadibihi vikalpyamana. How the rope alone is mistaken to be rope, such as rope, just as rope, etc., are mistaken to be snake, etc. Rope is mistaken to be a snake. So also, sthanatraye api atma ekaha eva, in all three states of experience also, atma alone is there. All three states of experience become superimposed upon the atma. With reference to rope and snake, very example is very easy example. Rope is mistake means soup, this false snake becomes superimposed. upon the rope. Similarly here, only Atma, the three states of experience, the three worlds, become superimposed upon the Atma. Therefore, negation is important. Antaprajnatvena vikalpyate. So, because of this three states of experience, that is, Atma is mistaken to be the experiencer, the experience, the experienced world in all these three states of experience. Therefore, only through the negation of these three states of experience, antaprajnadi patisheda vijnana pramana samakalameva atmani anartha prapancha nivritti lakshana phalam parisamaptam. Therefore, only through this method of negation, then attain the knowledge also rises simultaneously. When the reality becomes recognized also simultaneously, then the universe also becomes negated. See, in the wake of the knowledge of the truth itself, simultaneously mithya anatma becomes negated. See, very important teaching here, okay? Imagine, if you see the rope, in the wake of the knowledge of the rope being rope itself, snake resolves there. Do you need to do anything afterwards? Afterwards, you did not do anything. In the wake of the knowledge of the rope being rope itself, simultaneously, not afterwards, the snake resolves in the very, very rope. Then, that is the benefit. There's no other, nothing needs to be done after the knowledge. To get rid of the fear, no other action is to be followed. No other action is required after knowing the rope being the rope. Knowledge itself is an end. Itself is an end. No action needs to be combined or followed the knowledge to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge. Is it? So here also, Turiya Adhigame Pramanantaram Sadhanantaram Va Na Mrigyam. So in understanding, in order to understand this Turiya, no other Pramanam is required. No other Pramanam needs to be searched for. And another Pramanam need not be searched for. Another discipline need not be searched for in order to understand the reality. Turiya Adhigame Pramanantaram Sadhanantaram Va Na Mrigyam. Another means of knowledge need not be searched for. Another discipline need not be searched for in order to understand the reality. Why? Because this method of negation is the only means of arriving at the reality. Rajju sarpa viveka samakala iva rajvam sarpa nivritti palesati rajvadigamasya. See, once, if this understanding of the rope being the rope, then the discriminative understanding of rope alone is, rope is not the snake, that discriminative understanding simultaneously happens or not? First you understand the rope being the rope. And how long does it take for you to understand there is no rope? Simultaneously. How long does it take to understand there's no snake? Once you understand what is there is rope, how long does it take for you to know there's no snake? Simultaneous. Samakale iva rajvam sarpa nivritti palesati. So, resolution of snake in the rope happens simultaneously when the rope is discovered. As soon as in the wake of knowledge of the rope itself, resolution of the snake in the rope also happens. Okay. It means, again, rope also becomes what? Understood. Rope becomes understood, snake becomes resolved, in the very rope. Similarly here, in the wake of the knowledge of the Atma, again, the whole Jagat becomes resolved. Everything becomes resolved. Here, again, is there any other way of understanding, arriving at this reality? No. Reality has to be arrived at as one's own Swarupam. The individual human being, though the individual is Mithya, individual status is Mithya, the individual who is aspiring for the knowledge has to arrive at the reality as one's own Swarupam. Not as an object, not as, there's no other way of arriving at the reality. So the reality is arrived at as one's own Swarupam, and then one's own Swarupam being the Swarupam of the entire world also will become very clear. In the wake of the knowledge, everything Mithya becomes resolved in that Satyam.
331.
So now we're going to see how Gaudapada Acharya is going to make us understand that this one mantra itself, this one mantra itself, using the method of negation, serves as a means of knowledge, pramanam. One mantra itself, just one mantra. Every word in this mantra, so being a word of negation, serves as a pramanam, is going to make us understand. But in between, we had to little go out. I'm not going to read the page now here. Before I go to the next part, I make it very clear. Mimamsakaha. I'm not reading the next part now. Mimamsakaha. Mimamsakaha, say people who are Purvimamsakaha, of course Vaidikaha, but they have certain view. After the rise of the knowledge, some change happens on the part of the object known. That is their view. That's not the part of the main teaching. But you have to understand that also. So let me make it very clear. If everything is dark here, we want to see the things here in this room. You switch, turn switch on. Is turn switch on. When the light comes, in the presence of the light, just the light only reveals the object as it is. Isn't it? Light only reveals the object as it is. It doesn't bring any change on the part of the object. The light is capable of revealing the object as it is. Light does not have any capacity to change, bring up any modification on the part of the object. Only the mic will not look different from what it is. So, here also, Shankara Bhagavatpada is going to say here, knowledge just reveals the object as it is, reveals the vastu as it is. Knowledge reveals the vastu as it is, doesn't bring any change on the part of the object revealed. Even in, with reference to any object also, no knowledge can bring out any change on the part of the object known. Just as light turned on reveals the object, opaque thing as it is, without causing any change in the part of the object. So the knowledge just reveals the vastu as it is, reveals any object as it is. So here also, the knowledge just reveals. So this Purvimamsakaha, especially there are many Bhattaha. The Bhattaha is a Brahmin surname actually. And the Kumarala Bhattaha. So many Bhattas. So they were of the very view that the knowledge happens. After that, the knowledge brings about some change on the part of the object also. That's also he's going to refute here. As part of this, not the main thing, as part of the teaching, we're going to see that in his commentary. So, mainly, when any knowledge takes place, before I go to the Bhashyam, let me make it very clear. Let me explain to you first. In any knowledge takes place, that knowledge or cognition involves two aspects. In any cognition, the two aspects involved. One is mainly consciousness aspect. One is vritti aspect. Vritti and consciousness together form manifested knowledge. Vritti jnanam. Vritti jnanam, vritti jnanam, when you say any cognition, any knowledge which rises involves two factors, two aspects. One is consciousness manifested in that given vritti, given thought. Two aspects. So thought alone does not become knowledge. Consciousness alone does not become knowledge. Why there is no knowledge in deep sleep state? Why there is no knowledge? It's only total ignorance. Consciousness is. Consciousness cannot go anywhere. Consciousness being timeless, changeless, all-pervasive, eternal. It's always there. There's still why there's no knowledge in deep sleep state. Because vrittis are not there. Without a vritti, mere consciousness alone does not become cognition. Because the vrittis remain resolved in deep sleep state, the mind is non-functional, vrittis are resolved, there can't be manifesting medium, the vritti is not there. Then the consciousness is, manifestation is not there. Therefore, no knowledge possible. So knowledge means the source of knowledge, pure consciousness is different. We say the knowledge of anything and everything here. Vritti jnanam, which is a cognition or knowledge, is possible only if two aspects are there. Vritti jnanam. So the vrittihi, suppose, let me give the example. Suppose I'm seeing through my eyes, there is a chair. And first, the thought pervades the and the consciousness brings the object to light. So which is called what now? This thought pervading the object is called vritti vyaptihi. Thought pervading the object is said to be vritti vyaptihi. And the object being revealed as chair. Okay, this is a chair. That is because of consciousness. It's called phala vyaptihi. Vritti vyaptihi. Phala vyaptihi. These two happen because of the knowledge. Phala vyapti vritti. A given object must be pervaded with thought, and the consciousness which is there as part of the knowledge brings the object to light. Shines. This vritti vyapti and the phala vyapti. In every piece of knowledge, it happens. There's vritti vyapti and the phala vyapti. It is his mic. There's vritti vyapti, phala vyapti. First thought, mic thought is there. Mic thought pervades the mic. The consciousness which is there. Because of the which object becomes known. Vritti vyapti, phala vyapti, both vyaptis are there. That is why cognition, given object becomes known. It is possible. Isn't it? So here, in this Atmajnanam also, when with reference to self-knowledge also, the vritti has to rise. The vritti has to rise. It's called Akhanda Akara Vritti Jnanam. Akhanda Akara Vritti Jnanam. Vritti should rise. Now, when we do this mantra, Jnantah Pragyam, Abhahish Pragyam, etc., we understand this. We just read it quietly and we leave it. We have to really see here every word carefully. When the vritti happens, when you negate the body, mind, sense, complex, everything as anatma, anatma, non-self, then what is negated, not what cannot be negated, the vritti rises, vritti pervades that formless reality, and then the same consciousness again, in the right and same consciousness alone, you understand the consciousness being the Atma. It's called Akhanda Akara Vritti Jnanam. Why Akhanda Akara? Because any other object in the world being time bound, spatially limited, objectively limited, knowledge of any limited object is only Khanda Akara, limited object only. So here reality being time wise limitless, object wise limitless, spatial limitless, it is called Akhandam. And so the knowledge also, when you rise also, there must be understanding how this reality is limitless, how it is infinite, how it is time-wise limitless, how spatially limitless. Understanding also must happen. So Akhandaka Vritti Jnanam has to happen, which means this method of negation alone can reveal the Atma. No other method can reveal the Atma. And if we do not use it, other method being not there, this Shastra study will be useless. Then it is possible to mistake the Atma to be non-existent. Such an error should not happen. There is Atma. Atma has to be understood. Atma has to be claimed as one's own self. Thereby one must enjoy the benefit of claiming the reality as one's own self. So unless and until one claims the reality after his one's own self, there's no way of an individual becoming free from bondage. Bondage is not totally happening, isn't it? Moksha prapti is not happening universally. Moksha prapti has to happen individually only. Even though Atma is the whole is Atma, everything is Atma, then the moksha prapti happens. Moksha prapti happens on the part of an individual only. The jnanam has to take place only in an individual's mind. One should see that one's own self being Atma. And then mind happens to be always extroverted. It is very difficult to shift the identity from an Atma to Atma. It is not that easy at all. We study in the class very clearly. Every class is so clear, very, very nice. In every class we are very clear, listening. We understand this. Yes, I am not the body, I am the knower. We understand this. But still, are we able to remember this all the time? I am consciousness. I am reality. See, it is not possible to remember always. But still, this knowledge must be handy. Whenever required, knowledge must be helpful for us. Whenever required, we must be able to make use of this knowledge. Just as if we have the money in the pocket, we don't need to remember the fact that I have my money in my purse. I have money in my purse. We don't need to remember. You should know that you have money in your purse. We don't need to remember all the time. You take the person's all the time, check the money, whether you have money or not. You know you have the money in the pocket. We don't open the purse, take the purse all the time. But you only take the purse only when you have to buy something, to shop something, when the need for you to use the purse comes, you open and spend it. So Atma Jnanam also will be like that. How you have the Jnanam in interacting with the world, of course, as individual, identity with the body, my sense complex will be there, but still, absolutely, what I am should be remembered. And the Mithyatvam of the Jagat must be seen. Everything is mithya. Very difficult for us. Understanding Atma Swarupam is easy. But repeatedly seeing the Jagat being mithya is very difficult. Jagat is mithya. It's very difficult to accept and understand Jagati's meaning. There's no Jagat. When I give the example of elephant and wood, it is easy to say, yes, elephant is not there. Only wood is there. But only Atma is there. There's no Jagat. It is said. It's not easy to understand. But the fact is, it is not really there. That is why it comes to an end. Once a person leaves the physical body, Jagat disappears. Why you should leave? Once you fall asleep in the night, Jagat disappears. For you to be deprived of the world, if you fall asleep, Jagat is not there for you. You're just yourself. When you are just yourself, where is the relationship? Where are the people around you? Where are things around you? When you are yourself. In sleep, not knowing what you are also, you are yourself. Whenever you are yourself in sleep, there is no universe for you. There is no people for you. There are no people for you. There's no world for you. There's no relationship for you. There's no activity for you. There's no experience of parts of opposites for you. Nothing is there. There's no object of, this is an object of hatred. Nothing is there. You're just yourself. This is the fact. How every day if you fall asleep, there's no Jagat. If you die, there's no Jagat for you until you are born again. Similarly, the fact is, this is the fact means, in the wake of the knowledge of the truth being yourself, you can repeat, see this fact of this Jagat being resolvable in you. Then this knowledge can be, in spite of interacting with the world, knowledge can be used. Used so that you are safe, you are affected by the problems of the world. So here, what he says, Yesham punaha tamaha apanaya vyatirekena ghata adhigame pramanam vyapriyate. So in all these again, Shankaracharya makes it very clear. With reference to a pot which is kept in darkness, removal of darkness happens, the pot comes to light. In the presence of the light, pot comes to light. Darkness alone is removed. Pot is not newly made. So the light does not create an object. Light brings the object to light. What is there is brought to light by the light. Then create the object. It removes it in the, then ignorance becomes resolved there. The darkness goes, light is there, light brings the object to light. Similarly here, when the ignorance resolves, so in the cognition, when any knowledge takes place, the two things are simultaneously happening, resolution of ignorance and rising of knowledge. Resolution of ignorance and rising of knowledge, two things happen simultaneously. That is, the resolution of ignorance and rising of knowledge simultaneously happen means the darkness becomes resolved, removed, and the light brings what is there to light. So here also, Shastra Pramanam, when this method of negation is used, okay, in knowing what it is not, knowing what is not, what is there, what is not negated is arrived at. What is not negated is arrived at. Then knowledge rises. Oh, this is the reality. This is the reality. How do you arrive at it? When what it is not is negated, you arrive at what it is. The knowledge rises. Then simultaneously, the ignorance veiling the reality resolves. then reality shines. That reality has to be claimed as one's own self. That is what is the Swarupam. One's own Swarupam. The pure consciousness, the pure awareness is something because of which any knowledge is possible, any experience is possible. Is not an object of knowledge. But how do you arrive at reality? Only as a source of manifestation of knowledge, but not as an object of knowledge. So all forms of knowledge, all cognitions exist in the pure awareness. Knowledge of anything and everything in the world rises, exists, resolves consciousness. But consciousness by itself, that is why it's called pure. We add this adjective pure to distinguish it from what? The vritti jnanam. So shuddham jnanam, shuddham chaitanyam and vritti jnanam. Shuddham jnanam, vritti jnanam. The manifested knowledge, to distinguish it from the manifested knowledge, we use the term pure knowledge. The pure knowledge is that because of which any knowledge is possible. So it is not an object of knowledge. That's why here all vrittis are also negated as anatma. So that in because of the presence of which any experience is possible, any knowledge is possible, that which alone is there as an experiencer. So that because of presence of which alone experienced world also is possible, is this awareness, consciousness. So when you negate this aprajñam, etc., you are negating there the inertness, when you say, or the known world, subtle world, gross world, and the unknown world. All of them become negated. All of them are negated means then you negate in the very experience also. That is why Turiyam is not a state of experience. Turiyam is that because of which any experience is possible. Every experience, any experience is possible because of Turiyam. In the presence of Turiyam, experience is possible. In the presence of light, okay, objects shine. Like experience is possible only in the presence of consciousness. So that's why consciousness is not a fourth set of experience, not a turiyam. But it is meant by the term turiyam because it is as though it is the fourth. Being present in all three states of experience is as though the fourth, not the fourth, being distinct from all the three. And this pure consciousness, pure awareness, is a source of all forms of knowledge. All forms of knowledge. So knowledge of anything and everything should rise in awareness, exist in awareness, resolve in awareness. Which is the vritti. Vritti is there. Then manifestation of consciousness. Then vritti jnanam. I said earlier, thought alone cannot become knowledge. Consciousness alone cannot become knowledge. Both together contribute for the cognition of knowledge. And here, so, and this consciousness, that is why we say invariably present in all variable cognitions. There's not one particular thing. Every piece of knowledge, there is consciousness. The vrittis are different. Vrittis are different. The consciousness is the same. So in the state of experience also, we say, okay, dream, waking, or deep sleep state, states of experience are different. So vrittis, in the waking state itself, vrittis are different. With reference to various objects, vrittis are different. In all these various thoughts of various cognitions, what is one thing common in all of them is consciousness. And that consciousness has been distinguished. So in the cognition, if we distinguish the consciousness from the vritti, it is not physical distinguishing. You cannot physically separate consciousness from the vritti. But intellectually, cognitively, you can distinguish consciousness from thought. That consciousness is pure consciousness. With the thought, it is manifested consciousness. Without the thought, it is pure consciousness. There is no such thing. Same consciousness only. We call it manifested consciousness, pure consciousness. With the vritti, it is manifested consciousness. Without the vritti, it is pure consciousness. So in every piece of cognition, in every piece of knowledge, there is vritti. There are vrittis. And vrittis are varied and different in keeping with the difference in objects. But the consciousness up in every thought is one and the same. One and the same. So that consciousness is pure consciousness, pure awareness. So here, we're going to see that later on in the Bhashyam part. He's going to explain later on. So this, the vrittis differ, but consciousness being one, and the vrittis resolve, consciousness alone is. Consciousness does not go. Vrittis come and go. So cognitions come and go. When the cognitions are there, the respective objects shine. Vrittis are there, cognitions are there, then the world shines. Vrittis are not there, cognitions are not there, the world resolves, then consciousness alone is. Vrittis are there, world shine, cognitions are there, the world of objects shines, consciousness is. Vrittis are not there, cognitions are not there, the world of objects does not shine, still consciousness is. That's why we say consciousness is timeless. Timeless means always there means what? The world comes and goes, objects come and go, because cognitions come and go, thoughts come and go. What does not come and go is consciousness. So, this consciousness which is there always, there was said to be timeless. So, even the vritti pertaining to time also, vritti pertaining to time also should rise. What then time is? Vritti pertaining to space must be there, what then space is? Respective vritti must be there. Time is means time cognition is. Space is means space cognition is. World is means world cognition is. So existence of time, space and world, everything presupposes this cognition. And the cognition presupposes, not just the vritti alone. Because of consciousness alone, vritti can rise first of all. And vritti cannot rise by itself. Vritti by itself will be inert. It has to rise means it has to be conscious. So that is a very subtle again. But here Shastram does not expect us to go to that extent. Makes us understand it is this pure awareness which should be claimed as one's own self. It's not simply claiming, it's a fact. It's not simply claiming. Understand the fact that it is yourself. From the standpoint of consciousness, you can see the world being not there. It is resolvable. It is, this mithyatvam of the jagat must be very clear. Otherwise, satyam, atma means satyam will not be that clear. Of course, in the veka knowledge of the atma alone, you negate the world as mithya. But again, negation of what Atma is not alone will help you arrive at what Atma is. Doesn't happen, isn't it? So, method of negation has to be used choicelessly in order to arrive at the Atma. There's no way. Otherwise, Shastra teaching itself will become written waste. It doesn't serve any purpose. This is the uniqueness of the Shastra. Shastra teaching is effective. Shastram enjoys the status of being the means of knowledge. Shastra teaching serves the purpose also because of this method of negation. Because if the method of negation is not used, Atma cannot be arrived at all. The reason we already have seen already, why Atma can be arrived at all if the method is not used. First reason, it is of nature of formlessness. Second reason, it has no upadis. Atma has no upadis. Third reason, Atma is secondless. There is a second parallel reality, second thing other than Atma. The fourth reason, we say Atma is the nature of actionlessness. Atma is of nature of actionlessness. Therefore, it's impossible to arrive at the Atma. No word can direct the Atma. Even the Shabda Pramanam also, indirectly, only by negating what it, by stating what it is not, it can help you arrive at what it is. So the Atma being the source of knowledge, the knowledge itself, the manifestation of knowledge itself is because of the, only when the vritti arises, knowledge happens. And Atma is there already as a source of knowledge. Word can come out only after the knowledge. So word which comes much later, expression of the thought, expression of the manifestation of knowledge cannot be a means of knowledge of the truth. These are the reasons that it has to be arrived at only through the method of negation. And Vedanta Shastra Pramanam has its uniqueness only because of this, that it uses this method of negation, unique method of negation. So now, we'll come back and see next class how Shankara Bhagavatpada is going to show us how it serves as a. We'll see how Shankara Bhagavatpada is going to help us see how this particular mantra, very important mantra, we'll see that. How this mantra itself serves as a pramanam using the method of negation. The next class will do that. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate.